Hello, Rambler fans, and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. Thank you all for sticking with us through the week off. We have lots of news to cover, in addition to some season and reviews. So stick in, strap in, and welcome to another episode of Podcast 63.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets the score. It's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
Welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. Thank you guys for sticking with us through the off week. Last week we had some personal stuff come up, and we appreciate you sticking with us. And Lou, our good buddy, fell asleep in the rafters. He was drawn in by the allure of the new floor, and he has some exciting news for us. Lou, what is the news this week? Who are we sponsored by?
So, actually, it's a little twist this week. We are the sponsors for the brand new floor at Gentile Arena. You will have a big Podcast 63 sign on the floor of the new floor.
Did you design it yourself?
No. I fell asleep too much in the rafters, wrapped in the Final Four and all the banners we have up there.
Don't get that one dirty. We need it. We need it to look. You take the 63 one, honestly. You know, we deserve it for being Podcast 63. I think they should just give us the banner.
Fair.
I don't see why not. But no, in all seriousness, this week's episode, we have some news items, some quick ones, some kind of closing the end of some storylines that we've been talking about for a few weeks. And in addition to that, we're also going to be talking about some season reviews. We've gotten a few of them done so far. We started with the seniors, and then last week, or 2 weeks ago, we had a couple more. So this week we're going to be talking about Cooper and Ugwok's season interview. So without further ado, we're just going to jump right into it. The first news item is the news that we have a new assistant coach. It's been a little while. I thought it would get done a little bit sooner. I think we kind of all wanted it to happen sooner, but it's here. We kind of have a difference of opinion on him. I'm not excited per se, but I think the fit makes sense. And Lou has a little different opinion, so we'll get into that too. For those of you who don't know, the new assistant coach, his name is Jermaine Kimbrough. He's coming to us from Wyoming, which I believe, is it the Big Sky? Are they the Mountain West? Do you know what conference they're in?
Wyoming?
Yeah.
Wyoming's in the Mountain West Conference.
Mountain West Conference, where he was there for 3 years. Two pretty good seasons, his first 2 years, and then last year was a bit of a stinker. I think they won a total of 8 games last year. 2 years before that, they won 20 games, over 20 games in each of those seasons. It's not all the assistant coach, you know, it's not his responsibility to win games, but it is good to be a part of a winning program. And Jermaine has been jumping around from team to team. Before that, he was with another West Coast team in Nevada for a season. Before Wyoming, and then prior to his season under Eric Musselman at Nevada, he was at Cleveland State for a bunch of years, and they went to like one NCAA tournament and 3 NIT tournaments. It was for the most part he's been a journeyman coach, but I think he might have found a place to stay for a little while here at Loyola. But Lou, what was your initial thoughts on the new deal, the news?
Yeah, so with the new assistant coach, this guy's got experience, and that's a great thing. I do like the idea of getting this assistant coach done soon. Not as soon as I really would like to, but I like because they have the summer now to recruit, and that's big and huge for a new assistant coach to really show what he can do for recruiting. You got all the tournaments coming up, more Peach Jam, all the rest are big tournaments. For AAUs and recruiting to watch kids play. So I think that's huge. But I don't know. This wasn't what I wanted, but again, we always don't get what we want. And there are many different ideas of what best fits for Loyola, especially for Rambler basketball. I just wanted to see a former head coach. And again, as I'm going to say this, Bryce Drew out there, if you want to come on over and help coach, I think we'd love to see you. But Again, as Bryce Drew was coming from Vanderbilt, but coached at Valpo, so I thought he was the best fit. I kind of just wanted a former head coach and an assistant just to get that vibe. But again, is having a guy like Jermaine coming up, and he's been moving up to conference and big teams. And Loyola in Missouri Valley, we've played Mountain West teams the past 3 years, or past 2 years at least, in games. So we know that we felt their conference was strong. So I think he's just moving on to a next step. And I think Loyola is a great spot to become a coach because it's in Chicago, team on the rise. So right now for me, again, is we'll talk into it and I'll touch a little bit right now. But the records of his time there at any of these schools aren't great. Was it last year, Wyoming? They only won 8 games. Granted, the year before, I think they were in the 20s. So again, is we totally agree and on this one. It's not all about assistant coaches. Assistant coaches aren't getting the high paid to get the wins, but they, in my opinion, are connected to how the team plays. So again, is we'll have to read into it, and we really won't know until the season starts what role he fits. We know Mullins was a point guard, heavy coach. He helped with Clay. He helped Marcus move the ball. He was because that's what he played as. So we'll just hope to see for the coming year what Jermaine really fills that role. But I'm just happy we have a coach. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm happy it wasn't just a quick trigger of just hiring someone just to fill a role. Porter, I'm assuming, and even the rest of the coaching staff did some research, and hopefully they also, I think, had a lot of applicants, I would say, because I think this is a hot team to go to and a hot spot to really to consider. So I'm excited, but also a little nervous. I think nerves are just because there's so much open and questions out there, but I'm just happy to see we filled a role.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I found super interesting, a lot of times you find head coaches give positions to like guys they had coaches before or have like a personal relationship with. And just from what I can find in quick, you know, searches, I don't really think Porter has any sort of connection to Jermaine. So I'm kind of curious as to like how that process went. And it kind of leads me to believe that there were a few, you know, applicants or people that were interested in the job. And hopefully they did their due diligence with the coaches. I'm sure they did. But yeah, like Lou mentioned, this could have been something where, you know, after Porter decides to come back and doesn't take the job out at St. John's, he could have very quickly and very easily decided to give a job to one of his buddies, to one of his connections in the coaching industry. But, you know, it took a few weeks. I'm sure, you know, interviewed a few candidates, and this is the guy that they decided on. So it's going to be interesting to see, yeah, like Lou said, what his role is on the team. We won't really know that until the season. But overall, I think it's a solid hire. I think it's splitting hairs at this point, saying whether it's a good hire or bad hire. The point is, like, we do have an assistant coach now, and they can focus on getting the team ready for this upcoming season and continue recruiting for years down the road. But the next bit of news, we're going to talk about Christian Negron. Last couple podcasts, we've been talking about him thinking about leaving, then he decides to leave, and now we have news that he has committed to a D2 school in Grand Valley State. I'm a little surprised. I think we all kind of are. I anticipated him going at least to a D1 school. I think the talent is there for him to play at the D1 level. But maybe the reason why he wanted to go down to D2 was so he could play immediately. Otherwise, he'd have to sit out a year. And then maybe he'll decide to transfer again. There are a lot of different scenarios that could play out with him. But I do think if there was a D1 offer that he really liked and thought was a competitive team and a good place for him, he would have taken it in order to sit out a year. So I'm a little shocked. I think it's kind of a reality check of the type of player he was. He really hasn't ever proved it at this level. That's just my opinion. He hasn't ever really proved it at the college level. And because of that, maybe the offers weren't entirely there for him that I had expected or he had expected. But that's just my two cents. Lou, what do you think? Do you think I'm wrong? I think I'm right.
Yeah, okay. I'll definitely agree. I think if people go back, just first say that I've been a fan of Christian Negron just because I like how lengthy he is, and I've just liked how he could be somewhere to get a ball and a rebound as a bench guy. I didn't expect him to be a star or anything. I Cameron Krutwig was able to fill that role really well. But here's an issue. His first year, the man played 7 games due to injury. So, of course, you're not going to really show your talents in 7 games where you're not playing all 40 minutes of each game. This past year, we're going to be really splitting hairs here. I think it also was a factor that Porter really didn't want to play him, and we know Porter kind of sticks to what he's comfortable with, and that's fair because what rotations he's good that he needs comfortable with, he can play for, he can manage well. So Christian really didn't know what position he was going to be and how he was going to fit. But I do think sometimes he showed gems and he showed little sparks of what he could be. Mm-hmm. But again, is sometimes we might be happen to be lucky right now as fans and as a team. We are not just looking for little spurts. We want consistency in players. And I just think Christian needs a place. And again, as I really hoped it was D1, but again, is maybe D2 is just the best spot for him to really take those sparks and actually have something develop. And he needs a year. He needs a year, or he only has 2 more years left, technically, eligibility. But he needs a year maybe to just develop and just go off. And Tate Hall, as we all know, he is transferring from D2. So if the cards are really in Christian's favor, he might be able to transfer next year after having a great year. And I hope he has a great year. There's nothing – never a bad – I think this is really different, whereas some guys have played at Loyola or come in for Loyola, really done nothing, and then leave. And I think this guy's a little different because, like, he always had a smile, always a team guy to look out for. So I really appreciate seeing that. And then I just think it's just interesting that how things have unfolded. But that's really all we can really say. Just things happen for a reason, and we wish him the best.
Yeah, you had a really unique thought about his playing career. You don't think that – you think that there might be a potential for him to get his time, his eligibility extended. Could you talk us, like, through that process?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And again, we're not NCAA officials or
no,
anything.
No, I am.
But,
I
oh,
am.
You
yeah,
are.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
floor. You know, now that we have the floor, I get honored.
Oh, we get
yeah.
honored. Okay.
Yeah. No, no,
so
me.
You.
Not. Yeah,
gotcha,
thank
gotcha.
You. Thanks, Luke.
So now that we're official NCAA officials.
Not we. Just me.
just Buck. But here's the thing. So Christian only played 7 games his freshman year, I believe. And you can go back to LoyolaRamblers.com or something and check the stats and see how many games he played. But I'm pretty sure if you play under 8 games, you can appeal to count that. Especially Christian had an injury, and he was coming off injury from high school. He played that year with an injury. So I believe you can appeal it and get that year back. But again, is we've gone a whole another season. So I don't know if time expires or if you can again. But if my opinion, if I'm telling Christian, you're a good guy, man. So I'd say get someone in your corner, get someone you may know to look into this for you, or maybe look into it yourself if it's a possibility. I really don't know if it is. If you can wait a whole season, then be like, oh, that year 2 years ago, I want it back. But you only played 7 games, so nothing wrong on nothing. It's not your fault. You got injured. You can't really plan an injury. But I would love to see you get a year back and you develop and have an extra year to just go off. That's just a school of thought, maybe something to really throw out there. If anyone, listeners, have any ideas, that'd be great to see in the comments or even reach out to Christian and see if it's a possibility. Again, this is just hypotheticals at this point right now, or hopefully dreams if possible for Christian. So
I've seen sometimes where someone gets hurt for that, 7 to 10 amount of games. And then they have another season where they get hurt for the same, 7, 8 games. And then because they've only played such few games in 2 different seasons, NCAA will give – I've seen it, once or twice, where the NCAA gives a kid an injury redshirt year after they've had 2 seasons of, some – where they only play a few games.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
But, I even think – I could be wrong, but I think I looked this up a while ago, and it was, if you play less than 25% of your team's games, and they played so many games that year because of going to the Final Four, I think that he has a legitimate case. I'm kind of surprised he didn't do it any further. So it's definitely interesting. Hopefully he can get that figured out. We just want the best for him. We want him to be able to play as many years as he can at the highest level, or at what level he wants to play at. It was a kind of a sad way to end his Loyola career, but yeah, we wish him all the best. He's always going to be a Loyola Rambler legend. Moving on from the Christian news, Small other piece of news. We have a new video coordinator, which...
Woo! Video coordinator!
Really hope he's coordinates the videos super well. I don't know. His name's Patrick Wallace. He's coming from Northwestern, which, if listeners don't know, is not in Chicago. So
not in Chicago. Not in Chicago.
He's not a Chicago person, but he is from the area, and he was at Northwestern. Seems cool. Follows a bunch of the guys on Twitter. From what I can tell, he's a young guy. Probably very similar to the path that London may take or is taking. I'm guessing that, this is a young guy who is trying to go through the ranks, go the route to eventually becoming director of basketball ops or even on to coaching. So I don't know. He's a new part to the team. Lou, do you want to add anything onto him?
Yeah, so he's from North Carolina, native there. He played basketball at North Carolina State for 2 years, 2013, 2015, and then Charleston Southern for the last 2 years. He was a member of two NCAA tournament teams and a Sweet 16 appearance when they actually had a victory over number one seed at Villanova in 2015.
So Charleston Southern?
No, that would be North Carolina State. Yeah. So this guy's got experience. I definitely think he knows. I think that's a little different. No one really on the staff has playing experience in the NCAA tournament anymore. I don't know about Jermaine's experience now, but Matt Gordon never played.
Valentine
played but never got into the tournament, I believe.
Yeah.
London played for Loyola until after he graduated and left. We made it to the NCAA tournament. So that's kind of really cool. I think, again, people might only see this as a video coordinator, but again, as London was the video coordinator and he's turned into the director of basketball operations, but again, it's more about what he can do. He might be doing video coordinator things, but he could also be with the team in drills and also just another guy who knows the basketball drills or another guy who knows plays and scouting. That's a big thing to have a guy who knows what to look for and a guy who's had playing experience can help. So I think, quite honestly, this is a seed that we're just planting into the program and we could watch it grow because this is what we want. Programs have 6-7 extra guys who are just part of the basketball team and the staff, regardless if it's player development, or if it's just assistant coaching or just something to that extent, video coordinator, or just assistant. Having Patrick Wallace now added to the staff is a new face, new connections. He might know people that the staff really haven't known, but he spent his time at Northwestern. And now I'm just happy that we have another role filled. Again, it's really nice to have a cohesive staff, especially with recruiting. I think the summer's the only time they can really recruit. They recruit during the year, but summer's when you watch guys and you got more eyes now looking out for future Loyola Ramblers. And that's really important that we can have as many people as we can trying to help find the next great one, but also guys with experience to know and weed out the strong recruits that we're hoping to get. So, yeah, people might see this as only a video coordinator, but I think with bigger teams, you play more of a role regardless of what the title technically is. So I think that's what I hope to see.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire. The only thing I want to say about it, to add on, is I think that title is so dumb. Like, what – does he actually coordinate videos?
So I would say, how much time do they watch film and all that? So he's the head of that. And the film is – in basketball terms, film is so important because you watch – what you sucked at. Like, how many times do you think they watch Furman dunk on us to game winning?
Okay, that's too far. We're going to talk about that.
It's hard to say that video coordinator might be a strong role, but you have to understand the content of what he's doing. But again, it's like I just said, I think video coordinator isn't his one constraint, isn't for his one job. I think that's just a label. And again, there's multiple programs have that. Programs have, you could call him an intern maybe, or some you could call him special assistant to the head coach. Mm-hmm. So again, maybe it's something, but maybe he's really good at cutting film or really good at just organizing that, and that's a role he can do. But also video coordinator could relate to the team and scouting. So I think just it's more eyes on the program and everything.
Definitely. Yeah, we're happy to have Patrick Wallace on board and come to the best college basketball team in the Chicago area.
I like it.
Chicago area, because Northwestern's not a part.
Not Chicago.
To continue on, we're going to hop back into a segment that we have done a couple times now on the podcast, which is our player summary season in reviews. We got two coming today. First, I'm going to start off. I'm going to talk about Ahir Ugwuok's season. Kind of from the beginning of the season, actually, Lou and I had a bet regarding Ugwuok. I think it was like the first, either Ugwuok scoring 20 points in a game.
I said Cameron Crutwood will dunk in a game before, and you had Ugwuok will score 20 points.
Because there was so much hype around
him. Hype is the best word to describe it.
Everyone coming in and out of the Loyola program was saying, oh, this guy's going to be a stud. This guy's going to be, you know, the next, like, you know, heard like Dante Ingram comps, heard like better than Dante. Carson Shanks, I remember on Twitter, was going off on and on about how, like, Ugwuok was the best player in practice this past that year, the Final Four year, that Ugwuok was the best player in practice most of the time. And so, like, there was just so much hype about him. And he has the physical, like, body and strength of someone who could be really good. I mean, he's 6'7", 6'8", and he's really lengthy. And from what I've seen in practice, his shot, at least at the beginning of the year, his shot wasn't bad. It's not like there wasn't any like big hitch in it. It looked pretty like smooth. And from a guy, you know, we saw, I think even the first game, he had a crazy fast break dunk. Like, he looked the whole part, at least potentially the whole part, of being a guy who could be, at the very least, the fourth best scorer on the floor to go along with Custer, Townsend, Krutwig. And what we got was not that. What we got was a player who, I think, kind of at his best was someone who could get offensive rebounds, score from offensive rebounds, and every once in a while cut to the hoop and finish in traffic. That was kind of the best case scenario for him throughout the season. And I'm not going to – I don't think he was a disappointment just because the hype was coming from everyone else. It wasn't coming from what we had seen. But he definitely has a lot of room to grow, that's for sure. He had a few games where he scored a bunch of points. I'm gonna quiz you a little bit here, Lou. Do you know what Ahir Ugwuok's highest scoring performance was this past season?
I don't know the total, but I'm going to say the game.
Okay, which game?
I'm thinking it's the last game of the year, and it was Creighton.
It's close. It's a trick question. His highest scoring game was the first Indiana State game. He scored 19. He scored 18 against Creighton. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So, I mean, those two performances, like, those are great games. I think he even had two threes against Indiana State the first time. And then there was, I think, Indiana State the second time he had a good game. And I think he played well against Drake in one of the two contests as well. But then there were games where he just would disappear. And it's not even like he'd be missing shots. He just wasn't taking them because he couldn't shoot from three. And so other teams would just guard him so close to the basket. But I think his role as he gets better and the team progresses is not – I don't think he's going to be a top three scoring option ever. And if he is, he really blossomed and got so much better. But if he's a reliable fourth or fifth option, then the team is doing very well. I mean, at this point, he's already – last season he made over 50% of his field goals, which is impressive. He finishes around the rim. But would like to see him develop a three-point shot of any kind, even if he's making 32-33%, just so that other teams have to come out and guard him because he is so lengthy that he can just get past guys. I think that Ugwuok has like one of the highest potentials on the whole team. If he develops a shot, he's already athletic, he's already playing good defense, and he's very lengthy and can block shots. So, but at this point, you know, this past season he wasn't the player we thought he was going to be. And I think for that reason, my grade on his season is going to be a C-. Another trivia question. How many three-pointers did Ahir Ugwuok make this season? In total, whole season.
14.
You got the four part right. Four. Total. Four threes.
He made four threes. How many did he shoot?
Oh, a bunch. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't missing a lot of threes because he wasn't taking them towards the end of the season. But three of those three-pointers came against Indiana State. Two in one game, one in another.
Interesting.
He's not shooting well from three-point land. Yeah, so C minus. What's your quick grade? You don't have to go into a bunch of.
Well, I think it definitely the hype was the word we want to say in the beginning of the year because hype was coming from the program in the beginning of the year from everyone but himself.
Yeah, he never won.
We never saw anything on social media, and again, is this just word of mouth? So we never were at practice. We could never say we saw actual film or anything. But again, there was just a lot of hype. From former players, from current players that we heard and saw. I think sometimes we might have had still Final Four expectations. But again, there was so much hype around it that that's why. And he came from a pretty big program, New Mexico. If I'm going to say my one quick thing, the game with him against Creighton, the last game of the year, the man was exactly the role I wanted him to fill. He's a rim protector. Even though he didn't get blocked, but he's also there for the rebounds and the just simple field goals. I'm not looking for him to make threes. Cameron Crutwick can make a three when I need a three, if anything. But you know what? It's really important that he was just getting the nice layups in, the nice touches. Mm-hmm. He was, 9 for 11 in his field goal?
Yeah,
he had a beautiful game. Beautiful game. And my thing is, I can think that translate. And God forbid, he's got 2 more years.
Yeah.
He's got 2 years to develop.
Yeah.
And again, as we look at this, Clayton Custer, his first year after transferring, was he player of the year?
No.
He wasn't. What did he do his second year? Player of the year. So I'm not saying here's going to be player of the year.
No.
But when I sometimes have to realize with these guys transferring in, the first year, it's not going to be automatic click. Mm-hmm. He has to get used to the team, understanding the coaching. Because again, he's only practice. The fact that he had a year, was it tough to see that he wasn't really clicking right away, but then see the last game of the year, he drops 18 points. Yeah, it was kind of tough, but I'm just happy to think that he's got 2 more years. And we look at the past. Clayton Custer, first year, nothing crazy. Marcus Towns, nothing crazy, I don't believe.
He was like the fourth leading scorer. So
that's what I'm saying.
Nothing, it wasn't like this past year.
So it's nothing to really be like, oh my God, caution, warning, we're going down a bad path. No, it's called development. And the guy's got 2 more years, so I think that's a good thing to see moving forward is that the time is there.
What's your what's your grade on him?
I'm gonna give a solid C+.
Okay, so average of a C. Between the two.
What'd you say?
C minus.
Yeah, I think people realize that his height benefited a lot more than his skill because it drew defenders kind of over there. But I wish we could use that more as a decoy. Because again, I'll leave it on this one here. There are many highlights where you can see Cameron has the ball, Krupp is down low, and then he just simple, beautiful pass, and here's wide open because they're double teaming Cam. And that's where we want to see. We want to see these two big guys, these Twin Towers, a little Houston Rockets action maybe going on, that these can just bounce off each other and be brothers and be like, yo, I know when you want me to give the ball. I know when – and they can just understand each other's game. And they can be like, yo, here's the ball, and just work around that. And I think, quite honestly, I'm not saying we're going to stop being a three-point team because we live or die by the three the past few years. And we got a beautiful stroke and a kid, Cooper Cave, which I'll talk about in a second. But having a little power big guy down low is, I think, helpful. And the Valley is something new to have.
Definitely, yeah. So speaking of Cooper, let's why don't you get into it? Why don't you give us a little season summary of our boy with the flow, Cooper Cephas?
Yeah, no haircuts, Cooper. No haircuts.
No more
ever. Keep the flow. Keep the flow. It's beautiful. The wind. When you hear that swoosh, your hair is going to swoosh too. I swear. It's just a thing that's going to happen. But here we go. Cooper Cephas. Played 34 games, started 10 games in his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people might be like, yo, the guys are Duke, Kentucky. They start all the games. Okay, we're Loyola. Your freshman year, if you're able to start, it's a big deal. You're getting to know the team. You're getting to know the game. You're getting to know the coach. So I think that's a big deal to see.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing 48% from field goal. I'd say it's pretty decent, though, for your freshman year. I know he was 46 from three. That was the highest out of all players from three. So I think we can say what his high thing is. Oh, it's three-pointers. 81% from free throw line, so that's always good. pretty sure he's the highest. Yeah, he's the highest on the team with 81. Didn't take a lot of free throws, though, so I can say he's maybe not getting the line. I'd say right now, actually, for me, it's probably going to be a solid B.
Mm.
Or B. It's on the – it could be easily a B minus, and it could easily be a B. That's my grade because there are moments – again, he's a freshman. That's what I'm going to label this is the freshman because it's the best scenario because he showed amazing spurts. For those listeners who might not remember, Cooper Gibbs' first game in the collegiate career was 19 points. He went 5 for 7 from field goal and 4 for 5 from 3. Kid scored 19 points in his first ever collegiate game in a packed crowd in Gentile Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, as it wasn't like we were expecting 19 points every game. If we did, that would be amazing. But again, is he needs to work on some defense. We see that a lot. He's got hustle. I definitely think he's got hustle. But again, is the IQ is a developing thing in basketball. Unless you go to a powerhouse program and you know everything, you train for everything, situations and stuff, then that's amazing. But I think with our freshman, he's got 3 more years to develop that IQ. And I think his IQ could be off the charts. He's got the stroke. Defensively, he just needs to be there and understand. And I think, again, working with Lucas and working with guys who can be on ball is amazing. And I think if he just gets that groove and that understanding of how to really flow with the defense, that'll just be amazing. But the B minus is just because he showed amazing spurts. Like, look at Bradley, everybody. Bradley, the game where we needed to go to the Missouri Valley Conference Championship, Cooper's the guy that had to step up. Cooper's the kid that was shooting threes from the logo, from the half court. And it's not like we were like, oh, what's this kid doing? The kid had to heave it, and he was making them because he was calm, collective, and that's the thing is that showed how great spurts he had of saying, oh, this kid's got a future. And I think that's big that he has a future. And I just am happy to say, but I think it's a B minus. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go B plus. Just because I was looking at all the three. Sorry, dang man, average of a B. You know, but I think going into the season, I was looking at the recruits, and Frank was the highest rated of the three.
Yep.
And so I wasn't expecting big things from him, but I definitely thought he could step in right away and contribute. And then Isaiah Ujoso was coming from the top rated.
One of the top rated.
I think they went.
It goes La Lumiere. Because Frank, you got to look at Frank's school.
Yeah. They're definitely one of the top rated prep schools in the nation. So I definitely just thought that those two would be kind of ready to play and facing really high competition. And I saw Cooper as someone in high school, you know, from what I saw gameplay, it was like a skinny kind of kid who didn't have a lot of athleticism, and boy, was I wrong. Like,
I agree. I'm going back to a B.
Dang.
He was freshman team All-MVC.
Yeah,
freshman team. That's right, so that's a B.
But no, I just think he stepped up. The team needed him to find someone, a reliable scorer off the bench. And although he didn't score a bunch every game, you know, there was more often than not he would hit a three or two for coming off the bench. And there's just so much potential for him. It's like kind of the theme of these two guys is that there are, you know, both Ubach and Cooper have so much potential to become really good key role, you know, players in for Loyola. I think Cooper has the potential to be, you know, all second MVC, maybe even all first if he stays all 4 years and continues to develop every year. But yeah, I'm gonna go with a B plus. We love you here at Podcast 63 Coop.
Keep the hair, Coop.
Yeah, keep the hair. But I think that's gonna do it for us here at Podcast 63. Thank you guys for sticking with us. Also, if you didn't notice, we didn't want to say at the beginning, but we're recording without our sim equipment. We're both kind of in transition and moving, so hopefully didn't hurt your ears too bad. Other than, you know, Lou's voice, who I know always hurts your ears. But thanks for sticking with us. Lou, you want a chance to come back at me now.
No, I don't want to come back. No, we're done with the discussion.
Okay.
I just want to say keep sending us questions. I know this past week we didn't, but I know 2 weeks ago we had two user or fan questions. So I'd love to hear more. Where I'm going to throw it out there, and we're going to do a new thing now. I want to actually start for listeners scheduling. I'm just going to say that word, and I want to see if people want to add to the thread just in Twitter and just be like, we have some games. We're going to say it here. We got Ball State, St. Joe's.
Davidson.
We got the Cayman Islands Classic Tournament. Mm-hmm. So that's that field right there. So just to say, there's a few more non-conference games that should be coming. But I'd like this a little bit of interaction.
UIC.
Always the classic. God bless the Chicago team or Chicago area school that wants
second
to play.
Second best Chicago team. Yeah, because they aren't afraid to play.
Because they aren't afraid of us. Yeah. DePaul, yeah. Call us. But again, we're great, and thanks for sticking with us for the week off, but we're happy to get back on this groove. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see interaction with the fans. I'm happy to always see you guys on Twitter.
And we have some fun in the works, too. It's going to be way different than our usual content. It might not be super soon, but it'll definitely be the summer, so we'll keep you updated with that, but keep a lookout for something fun this summer. But that's gonna do it here for another episode of Podcast 63. Thanks for tuning in. Go Blurs.